MNF 88.52.
First of all, that what you are doing is monumental. And this is not easy. And you all are literally, with this show, you have literally created something out of nothing. And everybody can't do that. What I think is so unique about you all is that when I'm listening to you all, because there are things that I don't know about your world, you all have a wholly different kind of conversation. You have no ideas what your conversation feels like to my ears. It's so different. Because I don't have the opportunity and hear how you guys philosophize about reality. This is the only place that I get that in my entire life. What you do is significant because I'm not alone in it. A whole lot of folk over 40 years of age don't have that experience. Their kids out of the house and grown. When I think of you all as giving us a perspective on popular culture. Not just what's happening, because Entertainment Tonight will tell us what's happening, but you are also giving us perspective on how it impacts real people's lives. And that's the qualitative difference in what you're doing.
You're about to listen to the Urban Cafe.
All right. Buenos dias, Tampa Bay. This is your host, Joshua, the Urban Cafe, and we got Coach Don in the building.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. Feels good to be back.
It's great to see you, man. It's great to see you. Yeah,
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Coach Don this week. I had Nestor a couple weeks ago. So it's great to see the crew getting back together.
Oh, yeah.
WMNF is still under, obviously, COVID protocols. Just a reminder out there, even though I think 25% of the population has been vaccinated, the vaccine is still, the virus, the pandemic is still out there. You can go to numerous websites, CDC, Florida Department of Health. I pulled up, Google Maps actually has a really cool, they have a COVID heat map that you can overlay the regular map. And so there's an alarming trend, the state of Florida. So one of the main metrics that they measure is how many new diagnoses per 100,000 people living in population, right? And then it's the seven-day average of that, right? So as of today, the seven-day average is going up. It's basically 25.5 people per 100,000. So that number is going up. So meaning every day on average, we're having 25 new COVID cases, and that trend is just going up, right?
In addition to the vaccines going up? Or
correct. Okay. So there's more diagnosis of COVID, and you can zoom in on the map. I'm zooming in, obviously, Osceola County over in Orlando, like south of Orlando, the Kissimmee area and St. Cloud, et cetera. They're at 31.9. Polk County is going up. Hillsborough County is at 29.2. That trend's going up. Pinellas is 23. The trend is going up. Manatee, 25. The trend is going up. Pasco's 22, the trend is going up. Sarasota's 22, the trend is going up, and so forth. Basically, almost every county in our surrounding Tampa Bay area has an increase in COVID diagnoses. So, and I see it. I see people, the restaurants around me are all filled to the brim.
Wide open.
Wide open. And so the other day, I actually ran down by the Riverwalk, and I actually had to adjust my run because there's so many people on the Riverwalk, which is beautiful to see, but hardly any of them had masks on, right? And so
I'm going to throw a wrench in what you said just now, and you can give me your thoughts.
Yeah.
Even though the cases are going up, are there people dying?
No, so the death rate is going down. I can pull that stat out, but yes, the death rate is going down.
So
we're managing COVID better for sure. The cases appear to be less severe. There's not as many people in the ICU, but the reality is it's still out there, you know?
You can't negate the fact that the pandemic is still live and happening. People are still getting sick, but mm-hmm. at what point do we say, all right, now, we're just not dying from it anymore,
yeah.
So we can ease up a little bit.
Get into that herd immunity mentality kind of thing.
And, more and more people are getting vaccinated. Like, mm-hmm. My in-laws just got vaccinated Friday. They said it was a really quick process. They went in, and he's like, look, my father-in-law, he's like, look, I got my car.
That's great. That's great. So, yeah, I have tons of family members and friends getting vaccinated too, which is great. Absolutely fantastic, I'm really happy about that. But yeah, just kind of wanted to point that out and remind our listeners, not that they need reminding, but the pandemic is still here.
Oh, yeah.
And I highly encourage you to still wear your face mask, even if you've been vaccinated. Just because you've been vaccinated does not mean you cannot be a spreader of the virus. You can still have the virus even if you're vaccinated.
You can still get it.
You can still get it. You can be asymptomatic and be spreading it to other people. And so the mask is to protect other people, not yourself. And so I just wanted to reemphasize that.
You have to think about other people?
It's a novel concept. It really
this
is.
New, right? But, I mean, who does that?
I don't know. And so, you know, and many people may call me a wackadoodle, but whatever. But with that being said, we actually have a great show here for you today. Our monthly mental health segment, The Doctor's in the House. Dr. Marquita Wills will be on the show starting at around 9:30. Really looking forward to having that conversation with her. We're going to talk about the mental health aspects of returning to normalcy, right? What does it look like to go back into the office? What does it look like for your children to go back physically to school versus taking classes virtually? You know, what does it look like to potentially maybe even go to a concert, you know? WrestleMania is happening this weekend, and I saw some pictures from WrestleMania in Raymond James, and it was packed to the brim, right?
I was in that area yesterday, and I was like, what's going on? Why is so much traffic?
Yeah.
Like,
it's a huge event. I mean, it was packed to the brim. But
it started to rain, and I saw people literally just walking in the rain like it was nothing. I'm like, whoa.
Speaking of, there's a huge storm coming. It's going to start raining very soon, actually, and it's going to rain pretty much for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So there was some significant rain and wind gusts yesterday, and so I urge caution. If you're a boater, today is not a day to go out on the boat.
Not the day.
And if you had any outdoor plans, you probably need to cancel those because there's significant rain coming. I also want to give a quick update on the Piney Point situation in Manatee County. We talked extensively last week about this, and not just on this show, but on Walter's show, the Sunday Forum, After Me, and throughout the week here at WMNF, the Piney Point situation was highlighted. So the latest update is essentially 173 million gallons were pumped into the bay as of Wednesday. And so they've stopped pumping water because the collapse of the gypsum stack is not imminent any further, because they were able to release all that pressure by releasing all that water. So they do plan on releasing more water, but they are bringing in special equipment to be able to filter what they call the nutrients. So they want to filter the phosphate out of the water before pumping it into the bay. And then you have organizations like Tampa Bay Watch, which we hope to have on the show in early May, to give us an update about Piney Point, and also talk to us about the Discovery Center at the St. Pete Pier. But they're going to give us an update, you know, what does the Piney Point discharge look like 4 weeks from now, right? And so, you know, there's a huge concern about algae bloom because for those of you who don't know, the red tide feeds off of phosphorus and nitrogen. And that's exactly what was discharged into the bay.
And so they're going to come. So along with what you said, we're going on that. And we know right now Biden is introducing his infrastructure plan.
Correct.
Now, with Governor DeSantis being on the other end.
Well, I mean, he's actually kind of pro-environment.
But would he allow... I mean, because obviously this was an infrastructure issue that was left behind. Like, no one
for
even.
For decades.
Yeah, no, it hadn't been. So, this is not a new issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's been around for a long time. And no one. It's like we never pay attention to things until the disaster happens. It's like we could avoid certain situations. This could have been avoided had we had the time to upkeep and take care of our environment, you know, make sure that the things that are set so that these things don't happen.
Yeah.
We could have been prepared. I think we could have been a lot more prepared, but do you think Governor DeSantis is going to, you know, work with, you know, the Biden administration with allowing this new infrastructure stuff coming up?
Well, I mean, first it has to get through legislature. But I think there's certain things the federal government can do that doesn't need state cooperation, right? You know, so we'll see. In my opinion, yes. I think there definitely will be some cooperation because You know, one of the things that DeSantis did run on was protecting the Everglades, as an example, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are things that I think are very positive, you know, from that perspective. So, but we'll see how it plays. Talk to us about some great things that they're doing regarding the Tampa Bay Estuary and the Discovery Center, which is their new location on the St. Petersburg Pier. We also, next week, we got the return
crypto
of the Wolf of Wall Street, Scott Melker. Thank you to Don Scott Jr. for booking Scott again. There were so many questions left there.
I wasn't even here at that show, but I was listening to the, I remember I was sitting in the Burger King parking lot just waiting for my breakfast. I'm like, dang, this is a good show.
Yeah.
I should have been in the studio.
It was fantastic. Yeah. So we do expect to have a great conversation with Scott again next week. So if you have additional questions about cryptocurrency or blockchain technology, which is what cryptocurrency is based off of, please bring those questions to the show next week. But for today, again, we have the lovely Dr. Marquita Wills to talk about mental health again here to, this morning. We'll have her on in about 15 minutes or so.
So, you know, I have my thing I wanted to talk
about. So I'm going to intro that real quick. So the second week of the George Floyd trial has just wrapped up, and I've seen bits and pieces, and it's just...
I can't watch it.
It's tough to watch.
I cannot. It
was really tough to watch when they showed the video, which many people have already seen, but seeing it again and seeing the family watch it in the courtroom was really tough. And then one of the key points this week was several police officers on the witness stand testifying that basically the officer Derek Chauvin, who's no longer an officer, used excessive force. And he went against his training, against department policy, and against basic ethics of police enforcement when he put his knee on George Floyd's neck and you know, he ultimately
put his hand in his pocket and just...
And all that, yeah. And so essentially, you know... Just, you know, I'm quoting here from The Guardian. The second week was very different from the first week, but no less dramatic. The opening days of prosecution witness testimony last week focused on viral, harrowing video by bystanders. In the second week, two key witnesses formed striking bookends. The Minneapolis police chief testified against Chauvin on Monday. On Friday, Andrew Baker, who performed the autopsy, took the stand. Andrew Baker classified the death as a homicide.
Say it again.
Andrew Baker, who performed the autopsy, classified the death as a homicide, which he said in a medical context meant that it resulted from the actions of a person or persons, but did not imply any criminal action, because Andrew Baker is not a lawyer. He's not there to determine who's guilty and who's not. And,
right.
And he just tells you why the person died.
Right.
And he basically said the person was killed.
Yeah,
the person in question
this
being George Floyd.
Yes.
So that brings us to what you wanted to talk about as well, about an event that occurred in Virginia with a black Latino lieutenant, active lieutenant in the Army, being pulled over on December 5th, 2020, so about 4 months ago. And I'll just take it from there.
And now we're just hearing about this.
Correct.
4 months ago. So this lieutenant, now the reason why this resonates with me is because this, what happened to him happened to me, minus the pepper spray. So those that are familiar with Tampa, you know, I grew up on 15th and Fletcher at the Valencia Apartments. That was my neighborhood. So one night I was leaving the apartment to go to Taco Bell, and I got pulled over. Excuse me. So as I was driving, a cop came behind me, turned on his lights. I was at the intersection to turn into to the Taco Bell. As soon as I put my car in park, the cop jumped out of his car, grabbed me through my window, my driver's side window, and pulled me out of the car, threw me on his hood. And I'm like, yo, what's going on? I'm a student. I go to school. Like, I'm like, what did I do wrong? Like, I'm questioning that. And he's like, shut up. Just put your hands down. And he they went, three cars pulled up, and they just tore my car apart searching. I'm like, yo, y'all ain't going to find anything. And I started laughing, and he came to me, why are you laughing? I was like, because you're not going to find anything in my car. Like, I don't know what you're looking for. Long story short, they told me, you can't drive your car anymore. Leave it here. After they took it, like, they took my glove box out. They took my stuff out of my trunk. They took, the people in Taco Bell came out and they're watching this. I'm like, yo, what, here's my driver's license. Here's my student ID. Like, yeah, like, what's the problem? And this is why it resonates with me. How many more times do we have to experience this? And the reason why I bring race into it is because we very, very rarely see it happen to anyone that's not of color. Very rarely. It's documented. And that's why it brings us to say, that's why we lean towards race with it, because it doesn't happen to anybody else.
And so I brought this question up off the air to Coach Don. And so the video is pretty harrowing. So the video is available on NBCnews.com. You can just Google Virginia Army Lieutenant, and it will come up immediately. So Army Lieutenant Karan Nasadio had his cell phone up on the dash looking at himself. And then the police released the body cam footage. And so there's a splice of the video where one side of the video is what's happening inside the vehicle, and the other side is the body camera footage. And so from two police officers. And so you can clearly see that things got escalated very quickly, and that lieutenant had his hands outside the window the whole time. To his credit. But one of the questions I had for Coach Don was, the police were asking him to get out of the vehicle with their arms raised. I believe there were taser guns in both instances were raised. But basically, the police were very threatening and aggressive towards the lieutenant. And the lieutenant was very calm in his demeanor and, by all means seemed to be compliant up until when the police asked him to get out of the vehicle. So my question to Coach Jean was, why wouldn't he just get out of the vehicle and comply? And you had a great response.
So I'm going to even back it up. Why didn't he get out of the vehicle? Because Nasadio told the police he was honestly afraid to get out of his SUV. And the officer said, you should be.
Mm-hmm.
I should be afraid.
And this is all on the video.
I should be. Yeah. When is enough enough?
Yeah.
What more do you want from us? My hands are out the window. Obviously, if my hands are out the window, I can't be doing anything. Mm-hmm. I don't have six arms. Like, what more do you want from us? Why do I have to give up any right? Why do I have to be the bigger person now? You're the one that's supposed to be trained. You're the one that's supposed to be serving, protecting, and serving. Why do I have to be the bigger person and say I have to should cooperate? I am cooperating. I pulled over. My hands are out the window. Don't you want my license and my registration and my insurance?
It was a traffic violation, and they admitted they were pulling him over for a traffic violation, which does not require him to leave the vehicle.
And number two, I am dressed in my uniform that I serve this country.
Yeah.
What more do you want from Black America, Brown America, anyone that's not White America?
So I honestly encourage our listeners again to pull up this video again. You can just search on your search engine of choice, Black Army Officer Virginia or Lieutenant Army Virginia. His name is Lieutenant U.S. Army Lieutenant Karan Nasadio. In the end, no charges were filed. He didn't receive not even a traffic citation, and they basically put it under. They just kind of quelled it, if you will. The local police department there in Virginia did. And the reason we're hearing about it now is because he is suing the department.
This hurts my heart.
Yeah.
Like, my son is going to training to be, he wants to be in the military. Now I got to tell my son, not only are you serving this country, but these police don't really care. Like, what?
It is kind of like, I went back to like when the information that I've had when Black soldiers returned from World War II.
Exactly.
And they basically helped turn the tide of the war.
Yep.
You know, like, you know, the famous Red Tails, et cetera, et cetera. You know, heroic deeds in Europe, in Africa, in Asia. They come back to this country and then they're still facing Jim Crow laws and they can't even, you know, drink out of, you know,
we
a
can't
water
be in the same
fountain
restaurant.
Yeah. And here we are, what's that, 45, so about 80 years later, and here's an active lieutenant army officer.
That outranks those officers.
Yeah, and it's very alarming.
This is disheartening.
Let's get to a caller real quick. And again, caller, let's keep it short because we do have Dr. Marquita Wills coming on here in a few minutes. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling us from?
Hey, good morning. Hey, this is Jarvis calling from Wesley Chapel, man. I'm always in.
Hey,
good
Jarvis. Morning. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? This is real quick. You know what's sad about that is not only does that incident remind me of just the other incident that they just released of the guy out in California taking his trash out.
Yeah.
No, I didn't
see seen that. Yep. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, real quick. It's immediate obedience that they want from black people. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's immediate obedience.
Obey me.
Yeah, it's immediately. But what I wanted to say over that is that in each incident, the police chief, and usually the police chief of these departments are usually a black man or a black woman. And I'm not sure what it is in these two incidents, but you can see out in the landscape that they usually have a black chief or you know, a black lieutenant in charge of all these people. But I wanted to say that whoever the chief is, they looked at both of the videos and seen that they didn't do anything wrong, because they both of the officers in both incidents, they all kept their jobs and they tried to suppress the videos. But the chief, you got to remember when they show the videos, the police chief sees the videos and it's a matter of whether they act on it or not. And in both incidents, they said they done nothing wrong.
Nothing.
They didn't see anything wrong. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank you, Jarvis. We appreciate that. And you know, that's true. We got another caller. Let's get to that caller real quick. Again, caller, we need to keep these short because we got a guest coming on here in a few minutes. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling us from?
Buenos dias.
Bien. Good morning, Daryl.
I guess I must be like in the principal's office. You know my voice.
Hey, when I learn your middle name, that's when we're really in the principal's office.
Okay, I'm gonna get off the air real quick. What's the story about the guy taking his garbage out? That's what I wanted to know. And what is your guest that's coming on? I'm clocking in late.
Today's guest is Dr. Marquita Wills with her monthly mental health segment.
Okay.
And then the guy
in California was at home taking out his trash. There was a call. The police were called because there was they were looking for a white suspect now. And the cops saw the black guy and immediately went to him and said, "Hey, put your hands up." And the guy was like, "Yo, I'm just taking out my trash." And they basically arrested him for resisting. They were like, "We're looking for someone, but we don't have a description." And that's what they said. And like they said, "We don't have a description, but we're going to take you."
Wow.
On video.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and then endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. That is of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
You can't even say it with a straight face.
Have a good day, y'all.
Thank you, Daryl. All right. Well, that's a...
This goes into our mental health segment. Imagine our mental people. This is trauma.
Yeah. Maybe we can...
I'm going to ask her.
Yeah, we'll ask her. So you've been listening to The Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5, over 40 years radioactive. This is your host, Joshua. We got Coach Don in the studio. And we're going to go to a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to return with the fantastic Dr. Marquita Wills talking to us about mental health in the time of COVID, what it's like to return to normalcy, or attempting to return to normalcy. And then also, you know, we're going to ask her opinion, you know, probably personal opinion on what she thinks it's like to
experience
something like that. And again, I highly encourage all our listeners to just search on your favorite search engine for Black Lieutenant Army Officer Virginia, and you will come up with a video. There's a great NBCNews.com video collage of what the incident actually happened. So, again, you've been tuning in to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5. We're going to a quick break, and when we come back, Dr. Marquita Wills will be on the air with us.
What up, fam? This is your resident chef, Big Eddie G. Make sure you stop by the Soul Kitchen every Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. here on 88.5 WMNF. Each week I serve up a heavy portion of the best soul music, blended with a pinch of hip-hop, a little bit of jazz, and a dash of funk. Get your week started off the right way. The Soul Kitchen. Comfort food for your ears.
Hola, this is Isha, host of Latinx, WMNF's newest program. 2 hours of Latin indie and alternative music from around the world. From indie rock, punk, hip-hop to electronic, fused folklore, we play it all. Tune in every Monday, 10 p.m. to midnight on 88.5 FM or WMNF.org. Let the rhythm get you.
Hi, I'm WMNF General Manager Rick Fernandez, and I want to extend a special welcome to all our new listeners. As you will discover, there is something for everyone here at WMNF, where we dive into everything from Nina Simone to the Ramones, bluegrass to bossa nova, blues to news, and the list goes on. Our programmers are passionate curators providing you hours of music and news. We hope you find a home here at WMNF, where there will always be a place for you in our community radio family. Stay safe and be well, and thank you for listening.
There's no party like a house party, and the best house party is heard right here on WMNF. The Saturday Night House Party is heard Saturdays from 8 to 10 p.m. and hosted by yours truly, DJ Sinflow. The best in old school dance music, hip-hop, soul can be heard on the house party. So tune in and let us bring the party to you, the Saturday Night House Party.
Hi, this is Duncan Strauss, host of Talking Animals, which airs Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. right here on WMNF. If you're already a listener, that's terrific. Thank you. If you're not yet a listener or haven't listened in a while, I invite you to check out the program, which focuses on animals and animal issues, offering long-form interviews with notable figures in the animal world, rounded out by animal songs, comedy, news and announcements, and a quick contest, Name That Animal Tune. I hope you'll join me for Talking Animals every Wednesday at 10 a.m. right here on WMNF Tampa.
Hello, Tampa Bay. This is Tampa Mayor Jane Castor. I want to thank everyone who's helping us flatten the curve of COVID-19. Testing for coronavirus is now available to all residents in Hillsborough County with or without symptoms. Testing is free and medical insurance is not required. So if you feel ill or if you have any concerns that you may have contracted COVID-19, please get tested by calling 813-272-5900 weekdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. We want as many residents to get tested as possible so that we can get a clearer picture of how coronavirus is affecting our region and so that we can start getting back to all the things we love about our great city. It's also important that we each continue to do our part to protect our vulnerable neighbors by washing our hands frequently, keeping 6 foot distance from others, and wearing face coverings in public places. Together, we can flatten this curve.
Welcome.
Yeah, man, how you doing? You good? I know you like that. I know you like that.
All right, welcome back to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5, over 40 years radioactive. Again, this is your host, Joshua, and we got Coach Don's studio.
Good morning, Tampa Bay!
And
go
then,
Bucks.
Go Bucks. Go Rays, go Lightning, go all.
Oh, yeah.
And then we also have our monthly mental health segment dubbed The Doctors in the House. I need to come up with the actual song there, Dr. Marquita Wills. How you doing this morning?
Hello, good morning. Hello, gentlemen. Hello, Coach. Hello, Josh.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Great to have you on the air again with us. We had a fantastic monthly mental health segment last month with your colleague talking about, pediatric psychology and the time of COVID, et cetera. So that was a fantastic conversation. I appreciate that.
Awesome.
Connection.
Yeah.
And so the doctor, for our listeners out there, the doctor and I were talking in preparation for today's show, kind of like, you know, many businesses are returning to normal, asking their staff and employees basically to come back to the office. Schools are now opening up to allow, for those that had not up to this point allowed children physically, they are now starting to allow children. Virtual classes are kind of, you know, ending, or, you know, it's a half and half kind of thing.
Limited.
And so we wanted to kind of touch base on, you know, what does that look like from a mental health perspective? Because the pandemic wasn't 1 month, it wasn't 2 months. It's April of 2021. It's been 13 months of this. And so we have a new normal, right? You know, wearing masks, working from home, taking classes on a laptop in my dining room or whatever that is, right? And so we're going to get to all of that in a second. But first, I want to piggyback on the conversation we had right before the break. And Coach Don, I prefaced it with the doctor over the phone, but can you go ahead and go into what you wanted to ask?
Good morning, doctor. So,
good morning.
I don't even know if it's a question, more or less observation of what we're seeing in America right now on even from George Floyd, all the different cases that are being now televised. Could this be additional trauma or considered additional trauma to the Black community, to the Brown community, to anyone that's, you know, of color, that's this is actual trauma that's affecting us? Because now we're one, getting fed up. We're like, I mean, how much more of this can we take? Number two, now we're afraid, or even more afraid, because we don't know what to do now, because it doesn't matter whether we obey or disobey, we're going to get treated like we're less than. And I was just telling Josh, like, this mentally messed me up. Like, I got confused. I got sad, hurt, like, angry, and like all these emotions. But, and it's just over and over and over again. Like, I don't know what to do sometimes.
Yeah, no, to answer your question unequivocally, this is trauma. This is trauma. And so your response to the trauma getting re-triggered, Coach John, is actually normal. You know, when we experience trauma, and to see someone get treated the way the officer got treated in Virginia, that re-triggers not only trauma that we've had in our lives, but it also re-triggers transgenerational trauma. There's a such thing as transgenerational trauma. That people don't talk a lot about, that gets transmitted down through epigenetics.
At the genetic level?
Excuse me?
At the genetic level, it gets transmitted? That's insane.
The genetic level, it's called epigenetics. And what we believe is that the environment changes the RNA and the DNA in a way such that it's not coded, but that trauma gets passed down genetically.
And so
we're dealing with transgenerational trauma. We're dealing with our own personal stories. We're dealing with getting re-triggered every time we see the George Floyd incident. We're dealing with fear, anticipatory fear, confusion, dismay, embarrassment. All of that is trauma, and that all goes to me to something that I am truly passionate about. I'm not there yet. I got to figure out how to get there. But our community needs deep, deep healing. We need healing from this trauma. And I think that some of us are more resilient than others. What does that trauma look like that's been passed down generations? It may look like a lack of hope.
it may look like a lack of sanctity for life, just not feeling like life is important. And so therefore not understanding, and that we see in shooting and killings that happen in brown and black communities, crime, poverty, all of that, in my mind, is a communal response to that trauma that gets triggered every time we're treated in a way that denies our humanity.
I have a question.
Absolutely.
Why is it? Okay, so you are a doctor, board certified. You have all the qualifications to make these statements. Why is it that we have, and I'm gonna be generic here with my terms, we have white people that will see this and tell us, that doesn't happen. You guys suck that up. Don't worry about it. That's not everybody. We're not all like that. And I get it, and I know not everybody is bad. Not everyone is racist. But why is it so hard for them to say, hey, you know what? I can't feel your pain because it hasn't happened to me, but I can understand, I can empathize with you, and I want to help. Why is it so hard for the other side to see the same video that we all are watching and feeling and this pain and this hurt, and they cannot come to the table and say, hey, you know what? You guys are right. We're hurting. And, you know, let's try to do something to counteract these feelings that we're having, because what you said clicked in my head just now. You said the anticipatory fear. And that's what it is like driving while black. Because if I see a cop car, my first instinct, okay, my seatbelt on. Okay, good. Am I all right? Like, am I doing it? Am I doing the speed limit? So these things, like, it carries on forever. This is going to be me for the rest of my life.
So your question, have you read, there is a whole new, I wouldn't call it new, people have been talking about it now for 20, 30 years. Have you read the book White Fragility?
No, I have not.
White fragility is the concept of why, break it down in very clear terms, the question that you ask, which is, why is there this deep denial? Why is there this kind of, I think of like the Sharon Osbourne reaction that we saw on The View the other week, where she just, it's just this clamp down, this deep, deep denial. It's almost a projection, a reaction, a lash out. The idea, I think what it is racism, the term racism has been so loaded that it's almost like really, truly, almost the worst insult that someone can throw at a white person is to be a racist. And so because of that, they just are so deeply defended, psychologically defended against that word. What comes up for them is guilt. What comes up for them is responsibility. What comes up for them is this deep, want to be that, because racist.
Doctor, the doctor dropped off. Let me get the doctor again. And so we're talking here. the subject came. Basically, we're talking about a black person, in this case, an active lieutenant in the Army, was pulled over by some Virginia police in December 2020. And the video was just released now in April, because that lieutenant is now suing that local police department. And go ahead. Let's actually get a caller on.
Yeah. Bring on the caller.
We'll get to a caller. I need to call the doctor first.
Okay.
Let me call the doctor right back.
But as,
you go ahead.
So for those of you that are listening, you know, we all come from different cultures, backgrounds, and experiences. You want unity. For the most part, we all can get along. We can get together. We can work together. We can share all of our life experiences. But there are some few people that are afraid to come to terms and be accountable for their thoughts and actions towards us. And it kind of worries me, because it's so hard for them to do it that they just hold true to this other side, and they never want to cross that line and say, you know what, I feel you, brother. Come on, let's try to make some sort of, you know, change. It sucks.
Yeah, it's
very disheartening. It really, really is. Sorry for dropping. I'm not sure what happened there. But I think that I've actually been talking a lot and thinking a lot about this during this period, around this concept of white fragility. And I've done a lot of research around it. I've done some anti-racist training with people who are experts in the field, trying to unpack and understand. And I think racism is such a loaded term that the immediate reaction is, that's not me. That's not me. But the fact of the matter is, it's truly all of us. We all are bathed in this sense that, you know, of white superiority. And so it's just so unconscious that it's hard to unpack. And, you know, the book White Fragility, I encourage you to read it. We should probably take a whole show on
it. Yeah, I mean, this might be that show.
This might be that show, but I'd love to have the conversation. Maybe we just talk about this. It really is, it's a process of really wanting to lean in. And I think we saw it happen in real time with Sharon Osbourne the other morning.
Yeah,
and she just couldn't bear the idea of being called a racist. It unraveled her.
So
literally unraveled her.
So, Dr. Wills, though, so there are arguments against this book by Robin DiAngelo, White Fragility, right? Like, where, you know, some academics, even African American academics or Black academics, I should say, say that it not dehumanizes, but it infantizes Black people, right? So let me read here from an article. You know, for DiAngelo, this is from an NPR article. DiAngelo, the whole point is the suffering. They are of white people who are taught that pretty much anything they say or think is racist and thus anti-ethical to the good. So it's basically where DiAngelo's argument, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here. DiAngelo's argument is basically saying that every white person is complicit in the systemic racism that has happened since this country's founding, right? Since Jamestown. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but is that really fair to put the onus on every single white person when not every single white person is racist, right?
Well,
and what about Black racists? There's Black racists too.
I'm going to jump out on the limb right here. So, and I'm speaking from my perspective, because when I share stuff like this on social media, I have tons of sheriff's deputies, law enforcement officers that are close family friends. And they will message me privately and say they agree with me. But because of their position, they are unable to speak about it publicly. So they'll text me privately. It's like, Don, I understand. Like, you know, I get it. You know, I agree with you. But they cannot go on a public platform and say that because of their job. And that's what I know they care about me. And I know they're not racist, but they kind of have to play. They kind of have to pick a side at this point in time on how to maneuver through this, you know, because I don't want to call them out. They're good people. I love them, you know, and I get it. But for us, like, I'm hurting too.
And so, Doctor, before our phone lines are absolutely lighting up, and again, you're listening to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5. We have Coach Don in the studio. This is your host, Joshua. And we have Dr. Marquita Wills in here. We were going to start talking about a certain topic, but we're talking about, you know, what it's like to be Black in America, essentially, right? And so we have our lines are just lit up. Let me get to our first caller here real quick. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling us from?
Hey, I know I'm breaking the rules, but I had to get back in on this conversation. So if I understand the doctor correctly, she said genetically. That means if I'm a Black toddler or a young
black baby before I even have any real life experiences. Genetically, it's inside of me to have an instinctive distrust for authority or anybody in a uniform.
I wouldn't say distinctive or distrust for authority or anybody in a uniform. I wouldn't say that. I would say that there is probably an increased startle response, that there is probably hypervigilance, that there is probably some sort of a sense of pain, psychic pain, mm-hmm. right? That we are stepping into the traumas that our forefathers have borne too, and that we as a people haven't healed from. Now, okay. What that looks like, you know, so I'm just talking about the psychic response, not the social response to, then that means that, you know, we're going to go to a police officer, we're going to feel fearful or afraid. Then there's things that get learned. And I want to pull up this study of epigenetics and really, really talk about what epigenetics is, because it's a big term. But what it is it's the study of changes in organisms caused by modification of gene expression rather than alteration of the genetic code itself. And so the genetic code is the same, but the RNA soup, let's say, that we live in has mm-hmm. been altered, and that alteration gets passed down. So, you know, that, and we think, we really do believe that trauma gets passed down. How it gets individually expressed for different people, we're not 100% sure. So I wouldn't go so far as to say that means that they, at a baby at three, it means that healing needs to happen. That's what it means to me,
right.
That there's got to be some healing for Black people. That's what it means, because there's been so much trauma that has been passed down.
But doctor, let me say this, and I'm going to get off the air. You mentioned, well, all of y'all, you mentioned something else. Maybe I can explain it, say this. Let me play devil's advocate. Why is somebody like a Sharon Osbourne so taken aback by somebody saying that she's a racist? Sharon Osbourne cannot see herself at a lynching. She can't see herself putting a noose around somebody's neck because they're black. They have whatever kind of hatred with her against black people. You mentioned Sharon Osbourne, but what about Meghan McCain? See, Meghan McCain, she would probably be the same way. She doesn't like a Donald Trump, and no, racism did not start with Donald Trump. He just kind of like kicked it up a notch. But she doesn't like him because he talked bad about her daddy, and we all felt bad because her daddy's passed on, and we felt the hurt and the pain. But flip the coin. She'll be the same person who will say, I hate cancel culture, and I don't care. I was born a Republican. I'll die a Republican. I can never see myself voting for that other party. But they see all of this stuff that's going on, but she can't associate herself or place herself as being like that with the voting laws and stuff like that. It's like it's something deep down. It's like denial, and it's like a rebelliousness.
Yeah.
That's all I have to
say.
That's all I have to say. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you. I agree. There's a deep, deep denial. It's a deep. They can't see it. It's a deep denial. They can't see it, and they're. Initial response is oftentimes to deny it and to defend against it and to be enraged when someone causes them that.
But it is
points it out.
It is true, though. I mean, to an extent to where the majority, I would say the majority of white people are not racist. But because we bring it up, it kind of puts them in this uncomfortable position. And they kind of don't know how to react because they may feel like they have to walk on eggshells when having these uncomfortable conversations with a black person because they don't necessarily want to say the wrong things. And I get that. But on the flip side, where you said the healing comes in, I feel that, you know, as the white side, the white people should say, hey, okay, what can we do to squash this and get rid of it? What can I do to help? Don't get defensive. Say, you know what? What can I do to help instead? Like, so I feel that, you know, we need that. We need this healing. And the only way we can heal is if we all go through it together. We can't separate, keep continually separating each other when we're seeing, you know, people being marginalized or people being put in these boxes where these officers, he went to immediately saying, you should be afraid of me.
Yeah, that's terrible. And so we got a caller who's been patiently waiting. Again, we're coming up on a break here, but let me get to this caller. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling us from?
Oh, good morning. This is Ron from Mango.
Hey, Ron.
Good morning.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing it, I guess, if I'm here talking with you.
So what are your thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, while you were talking, and I'm glad you guys are on, as usual, I'm a supporter and everything. So I was listening. I went to the video. I hadn't seen the video, and it was very alarming for a couple of reasons. I wrote them down. I'll be very quick about it. Number one, in Genesis, God told Adam and Eve, don't eat from the tree of good and evil. And I think that's what they're using against us. It was also called the tree of knowledge. See, once we have knowledge, then we're supposed to be equivalent to that God that's over us. And now that God is upset that we have the knowledge as well as he do, and we're not evil with it or anything, and we're transparent with it and everything, but he has a problem with that. Now, that leads me, that's my concept. I've been putting that down to family and people because I read it. I interpreted that. Okay, now the officer states he is a veteran. So the guy says, I'm a soldier, I'm a veteran. Then he says, tell him later when everything's cooled off, people who keep going are usually minorities. And then he said, the climate of police in this country and blacks right now is why we're doing all this. And I'm like, okay, who created this environment, this hostile thing? And so my answer to that is he should right his wrongs. He who created this mess. Okay, that's all I had to say on that.
All right. Thank you, Ron. We appreciate your call and for tuning in this morning.
I get it.
Thank you for the show.
All right. I get where he's coming from.
Yeah. I do. And the doctor kind of blew my mind. You know, obviously, I love when she's on this whole epigenetics is what you called it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hadn't really heard that term before, which surprised me because I kind of dig all that kind of stuff. So that is fascinating to me. So you're listening to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5, and we're having a real conversation about what it's the trauma caused over generations of, you know, basically what is happening to people of color, because it's not just black people, right?
No.
Latinos too, right?
Yes.
Me, fortunately, I have to say I'm very extremely fortunate. Again, for those who are not aware, I am 100% Puerto Rican, you know, raised on the island, but been living in Tampa since 06. And I have been super fortunate to not experience what Don experienced when he was 19, you know, to what this lieutenant, active lieutenant in the Army experienced in December of 2020, you know. And so, but with that being said, you know, I can definitely empathize. And I, you know, so I guess, you know, I'm also kind of like, you know, what can I do to change the needle of this conversation and make sure this stops happening, right? I'm not sure.
And it's not that you almost don't want to feel like I want to put the burden on you or anyone else. I don't want to put this struggle I have on anyone. I would just say, if you want to help, we start where the hurt is coming from first. So it's, you know, instead of putting a Band-Aid on a cut, you know, we have to go in and see to make sure the vessels, you know, are mended back together so the bleeding stops.